Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today.
There is an emerging study called biomimicry, which is a new discipline that studies nature's best ideas and then imitates these designs and processes to solve human problems. The central premise is that nature, which is imaginative by necessity, has already solved many of the problems we are grappling with. Animals, plants, and microbes are skillful engineers. They have found what works, what's appropriate, and most importantly, what lasts here on Earth. The idea of looking to our four-legged friends for inspiration and information is very familiar to my guest today, who's going to share with us her perspective on leadership based on more than 35 years of studying animal behavior. Rachel Dexheimer is a powerful and dynamic coach, speaker, and author who has spent 18 years thriving in the cultural and technical complexities of various Fortune 500 companies. Her favorite roles have included leading multi-million dollar implementation projects that have spanned the globe. While she reveled in building strong business relationships, creating high-performance teams, and assuming progressively challenging assignments, there was something that was missing for Rachel, and that was a feeling of contribution to the greater good. So now she provides audiences and workshop participants with fresh and powerful tools to deepen their leadership skills, strengthen teams, and embolden clear communication. Merging her corporate experience with 35-plus years of exploration of animal behavior, these tools that she offers are not only relevant to the corporate environment, but they reveal some of our most basic challenges and strengths. Rachel and her programs command interested audiences of professionals looking for the edge in leadership development. She is a driven change agent. She is passionate about forging leaders and helping people become capable of solving the complex issues of our day. And that includes moving forward in the most powerful way as entrepreneurs and leaders within our fields. Rachel, I love the work that you do, and I am so happy to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and particularly to be able to share with your listeners. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. So we've got a lot to cover. I have a feeling we've got enough for several shows. But let's start with some quick backstory about your entrepreneurial journey. And I know that your career prior to coaching was in IT, in information technology. And how did you make the transition from being an employee to being an entrepreneur?
It's always a story that I hem and haw a little bit around, and it always makes me laugh because, of course, it's a story that everyone asks. But I was in corporate, as you said. I was an IT executive and had spent 18 years in corporate working on global implementations. Enjoyed some aspects of the work. And there was a piece of me that that was looking for a different type of contribution. And when I opened that question to myself, things started coming forward. And one of the things that came forward was a dream. And I still tease myself about that because that doesn't happen to me. That happens to other people. And the dream felt very clear and very real to me. And I ended up, from that dream, really looking at coaching, mm-hmm. and talked with a coach, actually went and met with a coach and had an epiphany that, wow, what I love about my job is this piece. Had no idea that there was a profession that would allow me to do that full time, and so got just lit up and very excited about the opportunity to coach full time. Found a fantastic program, and I jumped in with both feet, which, as many times extroverts do.
Yes, because I often talk about introverts, the look before you leap, and I think extroverts might be the opposite.
And sometimes that's true, yes, and this was one of those places in life where it felt so clear to me and so, I felt so much passion around it that looking didn't even occur to me. It was one of those things where I was on the edge of the cliff and the only place to go was to fly. And I jumped.
And a beautiful jump it was. Because
thank you. I have been very grateful for all the nets that have appeared and that will continue to do so.
Well, thanks for sharing that context with us. And I think that's helpful for people who are perhaps in that employee situation and have that desire for something that is lights them up, like you said, and are looking to perhaps make that leap.
Yeah, absolutely. I looked at my husband, who loves what he does every day, loves going to work, and I kept thinking, wow, I'm missing something. He was a great inspiration.
Well, that reinforces that piece about reflection, having people reflect back to us something. And
indeed.
So you brought up the extrovert piece, the E word. And
the E word.
Yes. I know through conversations that you've developed some nice ability to hold extrovert and introvert energies within you, that you're attuned to those two different preferences. How does your, it sounds like, you know, the extrovert side of you supported you in making that leap. How does the introvert side of you support your journey as an entrepreneur?
I really appreciate the question, and particularly coming from you and given the work that you're doing. My introvert side has developed over time, and I really see it as part of my spiritual practice, if you will. For me, introvert means not just where do I get my energy, where do I get my clarity? And my clarity comes from inside. And my extrovert side would love to have the clarity come from outside. And while some of my energy comes from there, what I have found over time is, and I'd like to say that as I get older, that doesn't quite fit. I don't want to consider myself as older yet. I find that finding that center and finding that grounding has been the birthplace of my clarity. And that is clarity that comes, again, from myself and not from the rest of the world. So where do I find my own answers? And that's inside. And that piece serves me very, very well as I move through the world and find myself in situations where a decision needs to be made. I'm able to be quiet and go within and listen to that stillness and be present with what's happening. And I really believe that that's that introvert piece, you know, that highly developed ability to sense into what's happening around us and then make a decision based on all of the information available, not just what's in our head or not just what we're getting from other people.
What a wonderful way of putting that. You've just taught me something about, yes, it's the energy and it's the clarity piece, because there's also a piece about truth. What's true in your heart?
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, when I say go inside, you know, and we have models of people, you know, going to the wilderness, and Joan of Arc went to a shrine, and Abraham went, you know, to the wilderness, and you know, there are all kinds of stories in our lineage and in our history about needing to go someplace to find that clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that place can be a physical place, and it can also be the place, again, to your point, that where our truth lies within.
And I think as we are more in touch with that place of truth and clarity, we experience things outside of ourselves a little differently, and we're ready for them in a way that we wouldn't have been otherwise. And so we're able to get that information to add to what we know inside, and we're that much richer and deeper for it. So speaking of looking inside and outside, you and I have talked a lot about animal wisdom, the phrase that you've used to talk about your work with, and your intuition and your sense of what animals have to teach us about ourselves. And in particular, I know that you partner with horses to tap into that wisdom. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. I'm happy to. The piece that I think is important to know about horses and animals in general, horses in particular, is they make decisions based on how they feel, not based on how they think. So from a physiological standpoint, science now tells us that we have more neural receptors, et cetera, and more neurotransmitters in our gut than we do in our brain. So when we are only processing things in our brain, we're missing at least 50% of the information. The other thing that science tells us is that 90% of our communication is nonverbal. So when we think about how intoxicated we are with words, again, we're missing most of the information that's available to us in a conversation, and that prevents us from making decisions with the totality of our wisdom. What the horses are able to do is help people get out of their head.
I know all about that, being in the head, that is.
So I think I think we all do. I know I certainly do as well. And it's hard to be in the head in the presence of such a large being who is not in their head. And so it offers people an opportunity to practice, wow, what am I sensing in all of these other areas? How can all of this information really inform my life in a new way and empower me to make decisions that really serve me and benefit not just me, but also my group, my team, my community, and my world?
Mm-hmm. So it has very broad implications.
Yes. I think that one of those pieces that it boils down to is, as we talked about with one of those advantages of the introvert, is being able to be present in the moment to what's happening, to the information that's available, and then being able to make decisions and take action based upon that information.
And I'm thinking about something I learned from you about the vision of the horse. And seeing straight in front of you versus seeing on the sides.
Oh, yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, would you mind talking about that?
Absolutely. It's such a great metaphor. Horses cannot see directly in front of them. They cannot see directly behind them. They have about 160-degree vision, so they see everything else. That, again, allows them to be pulling in information from what's present and engage with the world from a more curved lens as opposed to the very linear way that we see the world, because our eyes are directly in front of our head and we see in straight lines.
Right.
They offer a refraction and a reflection that is something that we are not able to get from one another. What I would say about how that relates to the entrepreneur is that when we want to build relationships, we build them being in the present moment. And when we're present with people, that's when the connection happens, whether it's a potential client or a potential partner or a potential vendor. Whatever the relationship is that we're building as entrepreneurs, our businesses rise and fall based on those relationships. The more present we can be, and the more aware of what's happening beneath those words, the more effectively we're going to create relationships and the more effectively we're going to grow our businesses.
Thank you for making that connection and tying that around. So what do you notice about your work with the animals and how it informs leadership? And when I think of leadership and entrepreneurs, I think of it in terms of we are leaders of ourselves. We don't necessarily need a team to manage. In a sense, we're leading processes all the time. So, Rachel, what lessons can we learn from the herd about personal leadership?
That's an entire book that I'm working on, and a couple of pieces that come up consistently is the basic definition, if you will, of leadership. And what they have reiterated in their behavior and their example time and time again is, do you have a vision? And I know, you know, you talk about that. Do you have a vision? Are you committed to that vision? Are you able to inspire others to see and follow the vision? Within that vision, you know, if I can kind of cover those individually just for a moment, within that vision, is it clear? Are you looking down, for instance, with the horses, you know, we do exercises of having people lead a horse with no ropes, no halters, nothing, with the clarity of your vision. And when we start that exercise, we notice, where's the person looking? Where's their attention? Are they looking down at the ground and expecting the horse to walk forward? So, you know, really looking at that vision and having it be a living, breathing part of not just the entrepreneur, but also their business and their service to the world. So is the vision clear? Are they committed to it? And by committed, are they willing to follow through? The leader of any herd, whether it's the lead mare or the lead stallion, is the one who is most willing to follow through. And not necessarily the biggest horse, not necessarily the strongest horse. With stallions, it's a little bit different. But certainly with mares, it's the one that's most willing to follow through. And I think that applies across the board for all of us, and particularly entrepreneurs. And then that last piece, can you inspire? You know, can you inspire your potential clients and your vendors and your partners and, you know, the world in general? Can you inspire us to see your vision and then to want to come into that vision with you, to allow you to lead us into that vision? So those, I think, are the three pieces from the herd that really apply to entrepreneurs.
One of the points that I appreciate all of those points, and one that stands out to me, is that committed piece of, you know, the thing that one of the things that defines a leader is that willingness to follow through on a commitment. And sometimes leadership can be, people can decide that, well, an extrovert is a natural leader and an introvert is perhaps the follower, and that it has less to do with personality and more to do perhaps with that persistence and passion and willingness to follow through.
I completely agree with that. I see our world rewarding the extroverted model of leadership. And there are absolutely powerful attributes of an extrovert. And for me, it's really about that balance of, great, so here's taking the best of both worlds and not getting stuck in either one. And
yeah.
I think that, again, you know, to your point, it doesn't have as much to do with personality as it does with that commitment. And how many times are you willing to not get that client or not, you know, quote-unquote failure, whatever that means, and that's a whole different conversation unto itself. But how many times are you willing to hear no before you keep, you know, and keep going to hear the yes.
And the willingness to say no yourself, to follow through and stay true to that vision in the face of things that might push our fear buttons.
Indeed.
To me, that's another trait of a leader, is, you know, holding fast, not stubbornly necessarily, or, you know, in such a way that is a negative resistance, but holding up that truth and that commitment as a true guiding principle.
Absolutely, yes. And I think, you know, there's pieces of, you know, how to enroll people in that vision, and, you know, there are pieces that an extrovert might appear to be stronger at, and yet when we talked earlier about that introvert skill of being able to really sense in, it's not exclusive to introverts. My experience is that they do it differently than extroverts do. So, again, I think, to your point, that's part of being a leader of ourselves, And certainly as our businesses grow and we become leaders of teams, that clarity of vision, that follow through, and that ability to enroll people in the vision and inspire them, those definitely come again and again in the herd dynamic.
And they seem to transcend a label of introvert or extrovert.
I definitely think so.
Would you share a story that reflects what you've observed to be the power of working with, in partnership with the horses when it comes to building self-awareness about these different things?
Yeah, I think stories are a powerful way to impart that picture. So one of my all-time favorite stories was with a woman who had been divorced for about 20 years and was really looking for a companion and had a very deep longing for that companionship, to travel with, etc., and had not been able to attract that into her life. So the exercise that presented itself was for her to walk into, at that point it was a pasture, which sometimes the horses volunteer to work in their in their pasture versus in their workspace. So they were in the pasture. So the exercise was for her to go to the pasture and embody, to really experience the emotional response of what companionship feels like. Let it feel, let it flow through her body, let herself experience that feeling. And she looked at me like I was nuts and went in anyway.
Mm-hmm. Good for her.
And she started walking around the pasture, and at that point the horses were scattered in a circle on the perimeter of the pasture. And she went in, and I could watch her put her shoulders back and relax into this delicious feeling of companionship and going on a cruise with someone and enjoying the sights, etc. And then I could watch her constrict into her head. Her shoulders would lean forward and everything about her would change, and I could see that she was in her head, what am I doing in a horse pasture? Why am I doing this? And I could watch her go back and forth because her body language was so clearly different between the two. And as she practiced being the embodiment of this feeling, as she practiced, it got bigger and bigger, and she stayed for a little bit longer and a little bit longer until probably the ninth or tenth time that she was able to come back, notice that she was in her head, come back into that, into her body, come back into that totality of her wisdom. One of the horses picked up his head, actually the lead, gelding, picked up his head and walked directly to her and started walking at her side. And she looked at him, and he looked at her, and they walked together. And it was this beautiful celebration of this companionship. It was an open invitation for him. He accepted the invitation. They walked together in companionship. As soon as she went back into her head, okay, I don't know why the horse is walking next to me. I'm sure she trained it to do this. This is probably a trick. Then he'd stop. And she would keep walking, and he would stop. And she would remember, oh, okay, I'm going to feel this, I'm going to experience this. She'd move back into her body, embody that feeling, and he would walk with her. And as she built this muscle in this half hour, as she built that muscle, by the time we were done, she had six horses following her in pairs. It looked like a parade.
Wow.
I have never seen anything like it. I was bawling.
Oh, I can imagine.
So beautiful to watch, and then to feel her leave with that feeling and that experience, and then watch what happened over the next 6 months as her life expanded into invitation after invitation after invitation, all nonverbal, for companionship, for friendship, for intimacy and to watch how the experience of having the horses follow her and give her that feedback allowed her to build that muscle, allowed her to build that awareness, and then watch how it changed her life.
That's an amazing story. And it really astounds me how much horses and animals in general, I find this even with my cats, reflect our moods and our thoughts and where we're at. Kind of they meet us where we're at, whether, you know, for good or for bad, you know?
And for them, it's neither. For them, it just is.
Mm-hmm. It just is. And that's a very liberating thing because there's no judgment about it. It just is what it is. And they're responding in the moment to what they're saying.
And they're able to respond differently as you respond differently or as I respond differently. But not only is there no judgment, but they flow with us. And as we change our mind and, well, let me try this on. How does this fit? They're able to say, oh, you know, that works for me. I feel invited.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, no, I don't want to be part of that. So they are able to give the feedback that we're much too polite to in our construct. And what I find is that horses are a little bit different. I agree with you that cats and dogs, that animals in general have this sense. And horses do it a little bit differently because, again, at that vision that you talked about earlier, they simply see the world from a different perspective than cats or dogs or humans because, again, you know, we have that linear mode.
So to circle back for a second to that leadership question, and it really does, you know, that story you just shared is another demonstration. It's about, you know, leading ourselves personally, kind of taking ownership and responsibility for what's happening with ourselves. So how has working with the herd and working with clients and other experiences you've had, how have those things informed your philosophy of leadership?
Where I am right now with that philosophy is that it's really about power with and not control, which is why I mentioned earlier that there are no ropes, there are no whips, there are no halters, there are no constraints of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're trying to do is replicate life and give people skills that are relevant. And there's nowhere in our world that I would choose to be where people have ropes and pull people around. So what I have found is that the horses are really asking to step into a place of what does power with feel like as opposed to power over. For centuries and centuries, we have dealt with them in this power over control model. They are beasts of burden. They are fill in the blank, whatever we want, however we want to term that. And there certainly have been people throughout the ages that have had collaborative, honoring relationships with horses. What they're asking or what the invitation is now is to really broaden that. So, again, the discernment between how to sense into a group and sense into what wants to happen, have that full knowing, is that power with. And being able to discern when that's appropriate versus when as a leader you need to simply make a decision.
Right.
Or as an entrepreneur, you need to ask for the business. And have you sensed in to all of the wisdom to know this is the right moment to make that decision and to take that action? Or are you simply in your head and you're going to make the decision now regardless? And if it's not the right moment, that can feel like power over.
It seems like that would be the moment when something doesn't, like we would say, something didn't feel right.
So that power with, that discernment of being able to say, here's an opportunity for me to be collaborative, and here's a moment where I need to act and go, as a leader of a team or as a leader of a business or as a leader of ourselves, now is the moment where I've gathered all my information. I need to go. I need to make this decision. I need to trust the information that I've gathered, and I need to go. And my experience is in leadership situations where I'm leading a team, if I've collected the information and the people feel like they've been heard in the past, that those moments of I'm going to make a decision now aren't necessarily experienced as control or power over, because all of the information and that relationship, the connection and the relationship have been open, and that trust has been established, and the leader is given the leeway by the team to make those decisions.
Yeah, you just said the magic word to my ears, which is trust.
Probably to most introverts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what happens when that connection is open and when we're, again, in that totality of our wisdom, when we're able to open up and really sense in and gather that information, we're building those relationships, and bottom line, we're building trust.
And I think about, you know, in the context of entrepreneurship, and especially solopreneurship, which it seems like, you know, that's been my experience and the experience of a lot of entrepreneurs around me, that a parallel to me that comes to mind is power over is competition, like viewing things through a competitive lens or any sort of needing to control the situation by labeling somebody as that person as a competitor. Whereas the power with is about collaboration and working with someone and being less attached to having control over things and being that in that open space. And that's where trust can be built. So what advice would you have for introverts who want to step into more of their leadership capacity, you know, to claim more of what's naturally there within them, both in the context of their businesses and their lives?
Yeah, I think the piece for me is really, I find it's very easy to get stuck in my head, and I have heard that consistently from my introvert friends. So my invitation to step into that expansiveness is, you know, what is the totality? I would frame it in terms of questions as opposed to advice, just because I'm a coach. So it would really be to invite them into, you know, what's the totality of my wisdom saying? What is all of the information available to me? And then based on that information, what actions want to happen? And I find that if I'm in my head, then action doesn't necessarily come organically. When I'm in that totality of my wisdom, when I'm really bringing in all of the information and I'm present in the moment, then the action becomes organic.
So we step naturally into that place of moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So those would be the two, I guess, questions, if you will, that I would invite people to explore.
Yeah, thank you for those. So, Rachel, I have one last question for you.
All right.
And that is, if you were granted 1 year on Introvert Island and you had only enough space to pack 3 books with you, what would you want to make sure you took with you?
An extra pair of socks.
Buried in one of the books, sort of, you know, pages carved out and lots of socks.
Yeah, for me that would have to be 3 journals.
Oh, yeah.
And a really good pen.
Yes, essential.
Yes.
Yes, and that would keep you busy for the entire year, I'm sure. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And if people want to find out more about you and your services and your work with the horses, where can they find out more?
It's probably the easiest way is on the internet. The website is www.equispire.com, and it's EQUISPIRE, mm-hmm. equispire.com, and all of the contact information is there, as well as photos and bios of the horses, and of me.
Great. And I know you have a Facebook page as well for your business.
I do, and they can reach that from the website.
Well, thank you so much for sharing truly what is heartfelt wisdom and a really new perspective on how we are approaching leadership and how we approach our connections with other people. It's a very refreshing viewpoint, and I'm so glad that you were here to share it with us.
Thank you. I, as always, enjoy spending time with you, so glad to be here, and look forward to our next opportunity to connect.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you.
This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. A very special thank you to Rachel Dexheimer for joining us today, and I also want to mention that the information I shared at the beginning of this podcast came from the Biomimicry Institute website. Thanks very much to you for spending this time with me, and I hope you'll join me each week for this podcast where I offer insights, information, and inspiration for introverts who know that success is an inside job. And if you'd like to learn more, please visit theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You can also find us on a growing community of introvert entrepreneurs on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.